Okay, that's...
Not my job?
Yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
With everybody. So today I actually want to cover quite a lot, although I probably will not cover it. I want to cover actually three Prukken because they are really a single unit that's not possible to divide. And that is Prukken Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. I just printed them out. I'm just doing this on one page as opposed to multiple pages. And that is the following. Perek Yud Beis, I'm going to go back a little bit because something in Yud Aleph I didn't cover. But Perek Yud Beis is really where the Alter Rebbe introduces the central concept of the Sefer, and that is what is a Beinoni. And he elaborates on that in Perek Yud Gimel and Perek Yud Dalet. But again, just to review the conceptual structure that the Alter Rebbe created, the Chiddush is the following. Unlike all the Rishonim and all the Achronim, except for the Alter Rebbe himself, that defines a tzaddik in terms of a person who has more mitzvos than averos, and a beinon and a rasha is a person that has more averos than mitzvos, and a beinoni is 50% mitzvos, 50% averos. And granted, the Rambam already made the point that we're not simply looking at things quantitatively, but rather Hashem has a certain hidden handicap system where a given mitzvah may count for a million averos, right, etc. So obviously, even under the classical definition, tzaddik, rasha, and beinoni was not a pure numerical calculation. But ultimately, after you apply Hashem's scoring system, tzaddik is rubo zechuyos, rasha is rubo avonos, and beinoni is mechza al mechza. Now the Alter Rebbe is maida that in many places, this is a very important point just in terms of interpretation, in many places when Chazal used the term tzaddik and rasha, that is what they mean. This is a very, very simple point, but it's a very important point. The Alter Rebbe is not giving you a definition of every single place in Chazal that they use the word tzaddik, they mean what he means by tzaddik. Rather, he's saying in certain contexts, this is what is called a shame mushal. Mushal simply means it is a borrowed term that is used to describe certain behavioral aspects, but it is not the intrinsic definition. So the Alter Rebbe's intrinsic definition is very, very unique. And let me explain why he's doing this. He's actually doing this, again, it's based on Kabbalah, it's based on Chazal, it's based on a tremendous amount of amkus, of course it is. But the ultimate reason why he's doing this is a psychological reason, and that is Hasidim were coming to him and their hearts were broken, and they were not asking maybe Orsameach type questions, how do you know God gave the Torah at Mount Sinai? You know, this was not the Shaila that his Hasidim have. All of them believed in Hashem, all of them believed in Torah, all of them did mitzvahs, but their question was, I'm working and I'm struggling so many years to do Hashem's will, and I still have tivus, and I still have a Yetzer Hara. Why aren't I getting better? Why do I still have these struggles? Shouldn't they go away? And the Alter Rebbe's answer is, life is tough. That's what it means to be a Beinoni. And a Beinoni will live with that struggle, no matter how righteous they are. In fact, we'll see the very definition of a Beinoni is a person who never sins. You never sin. That's a Beinoni. But then to go to God and say, I don't sin, so why should I still have these desires? He says, no, that's what a Beinoni is. You have the desires, and you don't sin anyway. Which means, don't look at your struggle as a sign of failure. That's just your job. And your job is not to give in to those desires. You see, again, this is essentially a psychological source of chizuk. Because the Eved Hashem kind of says, shouldn't I graduate beyond this? And the Alter Rebbe's perhaps pessimistic answer, but ultimately it's an energizing answer, is no, you're not going to graduate. That's what life is, at least for the Beinoni. The Tzaddik is a different type of life. So the ultimate chiddush of the Alter Rebbe is, a Beinoni is not a person who sometimes sins and sometimes doesn't. A Beinoni is a person who never sins. Which means, every time we sin, we are actually a Rasha, but the reason why we're all Beinonim is we have the koach to become the Beinoni who has the struggle and doesn't give in to the struggle. Okay, so again, the tachlis of this was to give chizuk to people, because people who were over the Hashem were saying, why does it stay so hard? Is that a sign that I'm failing on some level? He says, no, that's not a sign that you're failing. This is the life of the Beinoni. The life of the Beinoni is the life of struggle. And your avoda to be a Beinoni, to be zocha to be a Beinoni, is not to give in. So again, to go back a little bit therefore, so how do you define a tzaddik? So a tzaddik, we have two categories, right? We have tzaddik gomor, and again, I'm reviewing quickly, you have tzaddik gomor and tzaddik she'eino gomor. And tzaddik gomor is called tzaddik v'tov lo. And Tzaddik She'eino Gomor is Tzaddik V'ra'lo. And again, here too, the Alter Rebbe is an absolutely unique interpretation, because every Perish interprets Tzaddik V'tovlo means a Tzaddik who enjoys a good life in this world, and Tzaddik V'ra'lo is a Tzaddik who does not, you know, who has difficulty in this world, like the story of Eev. But the Alter Rebbe gives a different definition. And he says, a Tzaddik Gomor is a person whose godly soul is so, which again, the godly soul is located initially in the moach, in the mind, and from the moach it goes into the right ventricle of the heart, but where that godly soul awakens a love for God, but when that love is so strong and so powerful that it overflows onto the left ventricle, which is the seat of the emotions of the animal soul. So at some point, there is a concept that Tzaddik Gomor, again, Tzaddik Gomor says that the love overpowers, destroys, again, there are different Lashonis that are used, overpowers, destroys, extinguishes, and transforms the negative energy of the animal soul, so that the energy and the desires of the animal soul itself is to become close to God. And there literally is no Yetzer Hara, so to speak. Or the Yetzer Hara actually adds to the Yetzer Tov, because whatever X amount of energy that represents now becomes a desire for good. That is called Tzaddik V'tovlo, the Tzaddik where even the animal soul has become good. And again, he quoted the Zohar that talks about changing darkness into light and changing bitterness into sweetness. Now, what's a little difficult, though, is that's an extremely high madrega, and it comes from the outpouring of love from the chalal, from the moach, is ma'orer, the ava in the chalal hayamini, which then is nishtapech, it spills over into the chalal hasmali, and it totally changes it. Now that's a tzaddik gomor, that's called tzaddik v'tovla. What is tzaddik she'eno gomor? Now this is actually going to be a little difficult. How do you differentiate a tzaddik she'eno gomor from the beinoni? That's not so pashut. So he says the tzaddik she'eno gomor still has ra in the nefesh bahamis, but the ra becomes botel in the abundance. So again, to use this in a physical metaphor, now again, how this translates spiritually is not so simple. We don't fully understand it, or I don't fully understand it. But using the physical idea here, that is, the tzaddik she'eino gomor, there is also a tremendous love that overflows from the chalal hasmali, the chalal hayimini to the chalal hasmali. It overflows. But instead of killing and being mevatel the ra, it is, in other words, instead of killing the ra is botel in the abundance of the love that is there, but it is still there. There's still a little bit of a pull. Now, the difference between that and the beinoni is, in the beinoni, the right heart does not overflow at all into the left heart. The left heart remains in its full intensity, and you're simply fighting the battle not to let it rule over what is called the ir katana. If you remember, the Alter Rebbe used a metaphor taken from Chazal that the human body is called an ir katana, is like a little country or a little city, and you have two armies that are trying to get control of this ir katana. There is the nefesh ha-bahamis on the left and the nefesh elokis from the moach and on the right, and they're fighting because each neshama has three levushin, three powers of expression, which are called maisa, dibur, machshava. But those are just potentialities, because a neshama cannot talk, a neshama cannot act, and in some ways a neshama does not even have a conscious thought, whatever that means. So as a result, you have the nefesh elokis that has the koach of dibur, maisa, machshava. And then you have the Nefesh Bahamut, Nefesh Elokis, or Bahamut, which also has those three kochos. But those kochos can be actualized only within the physicality of my brain, my mouth, and my deeds. So these kochos are fighting who takes over. So the difference between the Tzaddik She'eino Gomor and the Beinoni is that the Tzaddik, again, using it in a very physical way, that's the way the Alter Rebbe describes it, is that even the Tzaddik She'eino Gomor, there is a spilling over of his love to of Hashem into the Nefesh HaBahamis. Ma she'ein kein the Beinoni, the Nefesh HaBahamis remains in full force, but you have to be miskaber not to let it get control over the ir katana. Now, the Alter Rebbe said that the sign of the tzaddik, whether it's a tzaddik gomor or a tzaddik she'eino gomor, is that the greater the love of Hashem, the more there is a revulsion and a disgust for anything that's not mekasher you to Hashem. And that doesn't only mean averos. That's for sure. But even things like luxuries that are not prohibited, right? That's the eating, drinking, you know, physical things which are not being done to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that tzaddik gomor has a total revulsion because all he has is Avas Hashem. The Tzaddik She'eino Gomor has a revulsion, but there may be 1 in 60 in which there's an attraction, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. There may be a tiny bit that's there. The Beinoni, Lagamri, may have those attractions, but he's Mechuyiv to be Misgaber. We're going to see the Beinoni obviously has a much harder life, and again, it'll be difficult to fully understand what's the avodah of the tzaddik. Okay, so this is the meaning that tzaddik she'eino gomor is tzaddik v'ralo, meaning his righteousness has permeated his animal soul, but there's still a little bit of ra in there, batol b'miyutei. Mashenkin the beinoni, the language of Chazal is ze v'ze shoftan. He is judged by both the Tov and the Ra, meaning to say, it doesn't mean, as the Rambam would say, sometimes he gives in to Ra and sometimes he does not. The Beinoni never gives in to Ra, but there is always a force that's trying to pull him down. And the Alter Rebbe's point is to his Hasidim, because remember, the Tanya was written as a substitute to, it was difficult for the Rebbe to meet with everybody. So he wrote Kuntresim to kind of give people Eitzos in Avodas Hashem. And we'll see that. A lot of the Tanya, we didn't fully get there yet, is about practical Eitzos in Avodas Hashem. And that is, don't feel bad that you're still struggling. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That is not a sign of your failure. That is not a sign of your weakness. That is not a sign of your bad character. It just means you were not zocheh to be a tzaddik. But he says, the Alter Rebbe will say, my definition of a tzaddik is not always a function of your bechira. Meaning to say, you don't necessarily have bechira to be a tzaddik, but you always have bechira to be the beinoni who does not give in to the yetzer hara. And that is your avoda. And the fact that you still have this yetzer hara, that is not a sign of failure, but your tafkid in life is to be a beinoni. And indeed, that is probably the tafkid of most people in the world, to be a beinoni. We'll discuss, can a beinoni become a tzaddik? A rasha can certainly become a beinoni, that's for sure, every time you're kovesh the yetzer hara. But can a beinoni become a tzaddik? Yeah, the Alter Rebbe will be merames a little bit that there may be things you can do, but there's no guarantee. It's kind of, it's always like the old prophecy schools they used to have. Right, in Tanakh, we read about Bnei HaNevi'im, the students of the Nevi'im. So who were the students of the Nevi'im? There actually were schools. You know, Elio, Elisha, you know, they had, you know, I don't know if they had an official curriculum, but you would go, and you would connect to a Navi, and even Rabbi Kaplan even suggests they would learn meditation techniques, and, you know, deep breathing, ways of focusing your concentration, but of course the Iker would be your spiritual Hachana in Sitkus. Now, did everybody become a Navi? No. Because Sof Kol Sof, it's still a Matana from HaKadosh Baruch. But you prepare. If you don't prepare yourself, then it's not Shaykh for you to get the Matana. But even if you prepare yourself, it's not for sure you're going to get the matana either. In a more pragmatic way, let's consider Dayonis, right? Maybe something that you might want to do. Very, 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 very chashuv of a thing in which you learn to be a Dayan. It's a special curriculum of not just the regular Aruch Chaim and Yorideya, but Evan Ezer, Choshen Mishpat. Right? It's a 5-year, obviously different programs, but a typical Dayanis program is like 5 years of going through all of Evan Ezer and Cheshen Mishpat. Gewaldig, difficult. Now, does that mean you'll get a job as a Dayan? Absolutely not, because being a Dayan is, at least in the state of Israel, is a political position. And, you know, you could be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. You could be the Gadol Hador. If you don't know the right person, you're not going to get a job as a Dayan, right? So maybe a private basin will have you, or maybe you'll have your own private basin, you know, you can do your own thing. But once again, you can go to Dayanist school, that doesn't mean you'll be a Dayan. It's like saying, you know, I go to law school to become a Supreme Court judge. You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't mean it's gonna happen. So Nevuah is the same thing. And the Alter Rebbe says, maybe Litzarenu, that being a Tzaddik is the same thing. So, everybody can be a tzaddik in the Rambam's definition of a tzaddik. Because according to the Baal HaTanya, that's what a Beinoni does. Meaning, you try to always do good. So everybody can be a tzaddik. But the Alter Rebbe says, it's a question of terminology. That is what he calls a Beinoni. Okay? To be a tzaddik, by the Alter Rebbe's definition, even tzaddik she'eino gomer, and kal v'chaymer tzaddik gomer, that, he says, is not necessarily. He's it's interesting. He fudges a little bit. He says it is not fully within a person's bechira. It's a little bit of an intimation that maybe if you really, 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 really try, something will happen. But Bederech Klal, he says, that is not within the avoda that Hashem put upon you. Hashem did not put upon you to be a tzaddik in his definition. But Hashem did put upon you to live the life of a Beinoni, which means a person who never sins, with Dibor, with Maisa, and even with Machshava. Okay? I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
There's one question. Yeah. In the Beinoni, is there, when they're battling, there isn't an overflowing back and forth where the Nefesh Bahamas kind of puts the Nefesh Elokis in gullus or captures it, and then do they not have...
Well, again, the Alter Rebbe says like this, and the way the Alter Rebbe's definition is, that does happen, but when that happens, you're a Russia for that moment, meaning the Alter Rebbe's overall shita is, every time you do a chet, you're a Russia for that
The other
moment.
Side also, though, when you shas Kriya Shema or davening, or these things?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Kriya Shema or davening, yeah. So basically, Beinoni is your general state, and then there can be exceptional cases where you fall into this, or you fall into that, and you got to pull yourself back to the Beinoni state. So in Perek Yud Beis, again, I'm going to just read you some stuff here. Perek Yud Beis begins with introducing the concept of Beinoni. Again, Chelek Aleph of the Tanya is called Sefer Shel Beinonim. HaBeinoni hu sheli olam ein hara geyver kol kach lichbo shesir katana. A Beinoni, the Ra never is strong enough to actually conquer your Ir Katana, your small city. The Beinoni does not allow the animal soul to take over my brain, my mouth, and my deeds. It does not do that. That is only going to be the Nefesh Elokis. But in his language is that the Mahus, but the essence of the animal soul remains unchanged. Meaning to say, you have these like three camps. You have the godly soul on the right, and you have the animal soul on the left. And they're fighting to control this thing in the middle, the brain, and the speech, and the action. So, the case of the tzaddik manages to cross over into the left part of the heart and conquer a little bit of the animal soul. The Beinoni never conquers the animal soul, but the Beinoni prevents the animal soul from conquering the Ir Katana of the Guf, and that is called a successful life. And then, so Perek Yud Beis basically just gives us the definition, the difference between a tzaddik and a Beinoni. And he says that tzaddik, whether it's a tzaddik gomer or a tzaddik sheina gomer, will have a hatred for the Ra. The Beinoni is not Moes Farah, but the Beinoni understands that he's not supposed to give in to it. Now he then mentions the following. He does mention in Perek Yud Beis already, and he goes on and he explains in a number of times as well. Let me just find something here. Afal Pichay, even though the Beinoni does not sin, Eino Nikra Tzadik Klal, he is not a tzaddik. She Yisrael Hazeh Asher Lior Nefesh Elokis Alachoshes V'Sichlus Shalakliba. The power of the godly soul to dispel the darkness and the foolishness of the klipa of the animal soul is only in respect to the three levushin, the three garments of Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. Volo bimahusa viatsmusa shalaklipa. But it does not permeate the essence of the klipa. Ki mahusa viatsmusa shal nefesha bahamis shamiaklipa shabachalasmali. The essence of the animal soul that gets its light from the shell, which is located in the left ventricle, Lo nitcha klal mimkamo. It has not been pushed away. It has not been conquered. It has not been subjugated. It has not been nullified. It's there, beating away. It's there. It's there. It's there, pushing me and pulling on me. But I'm just trying to find the passage. Though he does say, 1 second. Sorry, sorry to find something here. 1 second. Yeah. He does make a very important point, and really this is a tremendous muster, because we wonder why doesn't this happen to us. He says there are itim mizumanim, this is what you refer to, itim mizumanim, there are designated times of the day in which what is called the hidden love in your godly soul, which is in your heart, your right part of your heart, becomes revealed. You become consciously aware of it. And then, when the hidden love becomes open love, it then spills over into the left ventricle. And it subjugates and conquers the ra. And that is what happens during tefillah. Itim zumanes of tefillah, because there is what is called, again, these are some Kabbalistic terms, muchin de godless. Muchin de godless literally means great brains, expanded consciousness. And that is, your godly soul gets an infusion of light from Hashem. And that godly soul that starts in the moach is nispashet to the lev. Then it overflows like a high tide. It overflows. Again, we're using very physical mishalim because that's really just the easiest way to describe it. It then overflows, and then it kind of conquers and subjugates the ra in its place. Or in the Baal HaTanya uses the lashon a little later on, it's as if the nefesh ha-bahamis falls asleep. It's there, but it falls asleep or it can't do anything. It goes into hibernation. And in those itim mizumanais, those set times, I do achieve some level of a tzaddik, at least a tzaddik she'eino gomar, because the hidden love becomes open love, and the open love then overflows into the nefesh ha-bahamis. But he says, in the case of the Beinoni, after tefillah, it then recedes. It then goes back. Meaning to say, the open love afterwards becomes this hidden love, and the hidden love stays where it is. And as a result, my avodah is to be the Beinoni, and the Ra wakes up, and the Ra is just... Now again, you have to understand that in spite of all of the Kabbalistic nomenclature, the Rebbe is addressing his Hasidim. The Hasid says, I had such a gewaltige davening, and after I davened, everything's the same. So the Alter Rebbe is like a physician here. He's saying, no, don't worry about it. That's what happens. I mean, halvai, it should happen. I mean, the question is, he's describing something in davening that I think most people, most of the time, and I 100% include myself, I'm not here to say that I'm any different, don't automatically experience. But almost in passing, the Alter Rebbe says, well, you're not going to be a tzaddik, and it's only in Shas HaTfila that you're going to experience such an overwhelming love of God that you will feel that you've killed the Yetzer Hara. But you really haven't killed the Yetzer Hara. You just put him asleep a little bit. You knocked him unconscious. Maybe that's kind of the idea. And after you get after you finish davening, you know, he's going to come back again. Don't think that means your prayer was inadequate. Don't think your prayer was no good. You achieved what you were supposed to achieve at that moment. But that's not really your permanent madrega. And you understand where this is coming from. In other words, these are the types of questions that an Eved Hashem would ask his Rebbe. This was the early years of Hasidus. See, later it became a little different. Oh, well, I mean, it is still this way. I don't want to say it's, I mean, but today, it became a little more crass and even materialistic. Where should I, you know, I have Rebbe, I have $100,000. What stock should I invest it in? You know, these are the Now, the Alter Rebbe wrote, the Baal HaTanya wrote, in one of his letters, which are actually printed at the end of the Tanya, that he told his Hasidim, I don't want you to ask me any questions about your gashmias, about your business, about this and that. He says, that's not my affair. That's not my business. You pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you talk to a business expert about those things. He says, my only tafkid, the Rebbe said, was to help people in Avodas Hashem. So the idea that you go to the Rebbe for business advice was absolutely, and even within Chabad, of course, that became a popular thing to do. Was totally anathema to the Alter Rebbe's Hashgafa. So the types of questions somebody would ask him is this question. I davened, and after I davened, it was exactly the same. He says, yeah, that's what happens. There are itim mizumanais, where, again, the vocabulary is important because he introduces, the Rebbe, the Tanya is written in a very interesting way. The Rebbe just introduces words and phrases as if you would already know what they mean, but he doesn't explain them until later. So sometimes, you know, you don't really automatically know what he's talking about yet. But just to get the words down, he says, there already is within you, the heart of the Beinoni, an Ava Misuteris, a hidden love for God that comes from the Chachma of the godly soul. But that's hidden, you're not conscious of it, you're not aware of it. And because it's hidden and confined, it does not pour over into the animal soul and change the bad into good. But it is the hidden energy source that gives you the koach to be miskaber in terms of who gets control over the ear katan, right? Everyone follows the vocabulary here. Now, when that ava misuteres becomes an ava goluya, something that's so strong that it breaks out of its containment, and that is called ava bitanugim, a phrase from Shir HaShirim, the love of pure delight, then it's already possible for it to leave its boundaries, like Rishvei Esh, it becomes like glowing coals. Fire goes up. And then it can penetrate the Chalal HaSmali. And if the love is so powerful, it can destroy the evil. That's Sadik Gamor. And if it's not so powerful, it can envelop the evil. But a little bit may remain. But the point is, it's penetrated even the Ra. Masha'en came by the Beinoni, that's only going to happen b'shas ha'tfila. Now the Alter Rebbe makes a point as if I mean, you see that he's talking about people that are so elevated that this is what they routinely experience during tefila. I mean, the Alter Rebbe makes it sound like everybody experiences this during tefila. I mean, he's not saying you have to work in your tefila to achieve this level. That's not even what he says. He says, well, the Beinoni is always struggling, except for tefillah, this will just happen to you. And so you see how far we are from this. But then he goes on and he says that even though it seems to be that the Ra comes back with full force after tefillah, so what was the point? What did he accomplish with tefillah? He says, Lazem mayel rishimu b'mochin v'yiras Hashem v'yavaso ha-musteres b'cholol ha-yamini l'iskaber v'lishleit al ara hazeh ha-misaveh shalo lios lo shalita u'memshola b'ir lahotzi tavaso mikoach elapoel. So what he says is the following. He says that bringing out the ava b'hiskalos, openly revealing it, pouring into the Chalal HaSmali to be kovesh or subdue the Ra, even if it recedes, leaves an impression in your heart, in the hidden love in your heart, that it has become stronger, it has become more vibrant. And even though it's not in a position to be kovesh the Ra in the Chalal HaSmali, it will give you the renewed strength to prevent the Nefesh HaBahamis from taking over the machshava, the dibor, and the maisa of the ear kitana. Okay, again, this is a relatively straightforward idea, and that is, when we reach peak spiritual experiences, even though we have a yerida from them, but there's an impression that is made in our hearts that will give us greater strength to persevere. So we're not going to have that moment, right? This is what, you know, you feel after Yom Kippur or whatever it would be, you reach a certain madrega that makes you stronger for the next time you have it. You're not going to be on that madrega, but you'll have something. This is called a rishimu. Rishimu is a little mark, an impression that gives you the koach to be misguided. Okay, so that's basically a perikid base that introduces the idea of what is the Beinoni, and how is the Beinoni different than the Tzaddik? Yeah.
Would this explain at all when people lose their train of thought in Tefillah? Or is this not even talking about that? Is this is after someone has already attained the level of complete concentration at being mechavan to every word?
Now, you're saying this would explain, how would it explain it? It seems to be the opposite. He's saying a person doesn't. Yeah, well, what he's basically saying is that Muchen de Gadlus, which is expanded consciousness, is a gift that God gives you, but you also have to work to be able to achieve it. Now, there are other svarim, even within Chabad, that talk about Avodas HaTefillah. And the Alter Rebbe, I mean, it's very reminiscent of the Gemara in Brachas. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach. What does Hashem ask for you? Just to love Him and to fear Him and to do His mitzvahs. He says, what does Hashem ask? No big deal. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, no big deal. V'chi yira milsa zutrasi. Is this a small matter? And the Gemara says, in. Lagabe Moshe, it's a small matter. From Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, this was obvious. I think with the Alter Rebbe, I have a very, very similar feeling. For tefillah, this is obvious. You don't need to be a tzaddik for tefillah. A beinoni should obviously have this feeling during tefillah. But obviously, the point to keep in mind is that even to be a beinoni and to reach this level of muchin de gadlus is a very, very big avaida. How do you achieve it? How does one do it? I mean, tefillah really is, the emes is, it is one of the hardest things for us. The Gemara in Brachos says that tefillah is devarim sha'omdim berumo shalolam. Tefillah is something that stands at the highest pinnacle of creation. The highest. Ubinei Adam mezalzelin bahem. And people treat it with disrespect. People get bored. People get uninterested. The Chassam Sofer says people even have a yetzer hara to learn during tefillah. He said, he once said it. It's a joke from the Chassam Sofer. That Rav Yochanan said, Halvai she's palal adam kolayim. It would be a wonderful thing if people would daven the whole day. But the Chassam Sofer says, how is it shaykh to say people should daven the whole day? When are they going to learn? So the Chassam Sofer says, bedavka. He says, if you make davening really long, that's when people are going to learn. They'll do plenty of learning. If you make tefillah, you know, the whole day. It's bedavka when it's not tefillah. You know, when it comes to a batala versus learning, then we have the yetzer hara for batala. Tefillah versus learning. Even learning comes out ahead. Comes out ahead of that. So tefillah is a very, very great, great nisayon. And again, there are actually reasons why it's hard as well. It's hard because you know, language could be a problem. It's hard because saying the same thing can be a problem. The fact that the Seder of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, which has all sorts of secret, deep meanings, but Lamaisa, if you're saying the same thing over and over and over again, it's hard to feel a sense of renewal. Also, the difference between tefillah and learning is a very interesting idea. That is, true tefillah is a total bittul of your yesh. In other words, you're basically saying, I'm nothing without Hashem. It's a person who says, everything depends on Hashem. In learning, there's a tremendous amount of egotism that's involved. Even if I'm not talking about a balgaiva. I'm not talking about people who are, you know, learning in a for a bad reason or negative reasons. But in learning, you know, there's intellectual accomplishment. There's a certain pride of moving forward. In tefillah, there's no makom for gaiva really, because the whole tefillah is the notion of hispatlus to the borei, and it's very, very hard for a person to be mevatel themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the avodas HaTefillah is very, very difficult. Is tefillah too long? I mean, Chazal say, tov ma'at b'kavana, better to say less with more kavana. The question is, how do you translate that? What do you mean, say less? I'll only say half of Shmon Esrei? I mean, there's not a lot that you can cut, nor halachically are you allowed to cut. So what exactly do you do? So this is a big problem. I mean, this is not the time to fully address these mahalchim, but still, the Alter Rebbe's depiction of the tefillah of a beinoni, not a tzaddik, a beinoni, should be quite, quite amazing. In which he says, the Ava Mesuteres becomes an Ava Goluya, Kerishve Esh, like sparks of fire. And it overflows, although that's mixing the metaphors a little bit, it overflows into the left ventricle. It's kovesh and envelops the yetzer hara of the animal soul, so the animal soul becomes dormant and inactive. And for those moments, you become the tzaddik, at least the tzaddik, she'eino gomor. And you think, I've won, I've succeeded, I've achieved. And then it recedes, and you're back to where you were, Again, the Alter Rebbe says, don't worry, I mean, no, don't worry about it. That is what's supposed to happen. But you should know that every encounter with such an experience, right, this is important, leaves a reshimo, leaves a rosham in you, and that rosham will give you the koach, the strength, to be misgaber keneged, the strong nefesh abahamis that got reawoken, that they should not permeate the boundaries using of the ear katana, which is the faculty of machshava, dibur, and maisa of the guf. Okay, so that's kind of what it is. So you see from here, though, that according to this, one of the purposes of tefillah, this is again an important yisayit, like why do we daven? Why do we daven? So people think, well, I daven because I need things, right? So, you know, there's sickness, I need health, I need parnasa, I need. So davening is the mechanism to get what I need, because now that itself is a madrega, that I know that everything comes from Hashem. And yet we have a Gemara in Yevamos that says a very important idea, very, very important idea, and that is, the Gemara in Yevamos asks the kasha, why are the imais akores? Sorry, Imenu, Rivka for 20 years, Rachel, right, those are the three imais. There were so many years they couldn't have children. They were so righteous, and their husbands were the abbas. Why were the imais akores? So state in the Gemara, the imais were akores, she'akadosh baruch hu nis'aveh l'tfilas and shel tzaddikim. Hashem yearned for their tfilas. If everything would have been fine, they wouldn't have davened. So Hashem took something away from them, because Hashem cherished their tefillahs. Now, this is a very, very important Gemara, because it really shows us that we have to reverse the cause and effect. We think, because I have needs, therefore I daven. The Gemara is telling us the opposite. The real need that you have is to daven. Elamai, if you wouldn't have needs, you wouldn't bother to daven necessarily. So it's not that Hashem created davening to address needs, rather Hashem created needs so we would come to Him in tefillah. And tefillah is the real need. In fact, that's a famous word from the Chiddushei Arim, the first Ger Rebbe, where the first Ger Rebbe says, the Nachash was cursed. After the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the Nachash was cursed that it will crawl on its belly and eat dirt. Now, whatever that means, but dirt is something that's very common. What's so bad about eating dirt? I mean, you know, again, if the taste buds are not so nogeya, dirt is everywhere. So fakert, the easiest diet in the world is to live on dirt. The answer is because the nachash was cursed that it would never have to ask Hashem for parnasa. It's as if to say, give him whatever he wants, I just don't want to see him. Hmm. They tell a story, I don't know if it's true, it might be true, about a kid from a rich family. He was 17 or 18, and his mother died, and the father remarried, and unfortunately, kind of the stereotypical evil stepmother, not, I mean, many stepmothers are fine, but you know, the stereotypical story of the evil stepmother. And the evil stepmother said she didn't want to have that kid live at home at all. She thought it was a mafria, whatever it is. So the father, who was very wealthy, tells the kid, listen, I'm getting you an apartment, I'm getting you a car, I'm giving you a credit card with unlimited credit. You can buy what you want, you can do what you want, you can go where you want. I just can never talk to you again. And you just can't call me up. So on one hand, you know, this could be a teenager's dream, right? A credit card, car, apartment, do what I want, spend what I want. On the other hand, what type of living Gehenna really is it? That he has everything he wants, but not a relationship with his father. Right, that's so he says, that's the Nachash. The Nachash was given whatever you want. Anything. What you want is around everywhere. You know, the dirt. But I don't want to see you. So tefillah, the point of tefillah is connecting to Hashem. And therefore, even if it's not answered, it's answered because I'm connecting, meaning Hashem might say to me, or as the Panovich Rav put it, sometimes no is also an answer, right? Someone asked the Panovich Rav in Yiddish, Farvos er entfert nicht, which means, why does God not answer? And the Panovich Rav says, you have to repunctuate. Er entfert nicht. He answers, no. Not, right? Farvos er entfert nicht, er entfert nicht. Now, that's not semantics. That is not semantics at all. There is all the difference in the world between saying, Hashem ignores me and is not interested in me, versus Hashem listens to everything I say and then says, I'm sorry, this is not the right thing for you right now. This is not the right time, not the good thing. You got to trust me. That's a very different thing than simply saying, who are you? Why are you bothering me? So that's one very important idea, that tefillah is about this connection to Hashem. Now, what the Baal HaTanya is adding is something else that's very important. That is the experience of what's called Muchen de Gadlus, the expanded consciousness, gives a reishim in my neshama, my godly soul, that will give me the strength to be mamshich in Aveda and to live the life of the Beinoni. Because right after davening, I'm going to have to go back to that Yetzer Hara once again. And by the way, I want to find out a semantic thing. Although generations of Chabads, you know, want to make the point over and over again, because people ask an obvious question, what exactly is the difference between the godly soul, animal soul, and the more familiar words, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara? So a Chabad guy will give you, 5 hours. But the point is that in Perek Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, the Alter Rebbe uses them interchangeably. All I can tell you, just reading the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe uses the word Yetzer Hara for the Nefesh HaBahamas and uses the word Yetzer Tov for the Nefesh HaLakissa. So Lamaisa, it's not clear that the Alter Rebbe Bechlau meant to make a whole new chiluk. He was using vocabulary of the Zohar, but to describe something that is relatively familiar to us in other ways. But this is a very important aspect of tefillah, that tefillah will give you the kayach to be miskaber over the animal soul or the Yetzer Hara, not necessarily to become a tzaddik by his definition, but to do the avaida of the Beinoni, not to give in to the taivas of your heart.
At which stage would the Tanya agree with the Misashim as being a tzaddik? Like, at what point of the Misashim would the Tanya consider person being a tzaddik? Cleanliness?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing that, again, the what the Baal HaTanya calls a tzaddik is probably what the Mesilas Yisrael calls the level of Kedusha. And indeed, if you look in the Ramchal's Lashon, and again, it actually is very close to the Tanya's Lashon in Perek Yudalet, is Techilasai Aveda. It begins with Aveda, your work, V'sofo Matana, and it ends as a gift from Hashem that's beyond your work. Meaning your work itself cannot reach the level of Kedusha. So I think, again, it's hard to make a Madrega by Madrega comparison of Tanya and Mesilas Yesharim, but it would seem that the Baal HaTanya's definition of tzaddik seems to track the Ramchal's definition of the level of kedusha, which is the highest level in the Mesilas Yesharim.
So obviously, the Baal HaTanya is limiting his suit to tefillah.
Yeah,
we've talked in the past about the great emphasis that the Alter Rebbe places on learning.
Yes.
So I'm curious as to why this is an experience that one can only have that a Beinoni can only have in tefillah, but not in learning. In other contexts, the Rebbe's talked about how, I think it was the Chazon Ish, would learn for 12 hours and described how amazing an experience it is.
Yes.
That sounds like what this is being described.
Yeah, it seems to me, I would suggest, although Dr. Rebbe does mention learning later, in this parak he mentions the Itim Mizumanas. Let me just see the exact lesson here. Um, I think it could be the issue of ego. I think that may be it. In other words, in learning, it is almost impossible to take away your sense of intellectual pride and accomplishment, and therefore the fullness of the Beinoni being margish, the level of the tzaddik, cannot fully occur in that way. Now again, the Alter Rebbe does say, as Chazal say, that learning Torah certainly conquers the Yetzer Hara, but not in the sense of tzaddik. It conquers the Yetzer Hara in the sense of the Beinoni, that the Torah will give you the koach to fight against the Yetzer Hara. So in that he says, that's what Chazal say, he quotes the Gemara, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created within you a Yetzer Hara, I created the Torah as the antidote. That much is true. But in terms of the Hiskalus Libai to be Nishbach, he says perhaps that's not going to work. Now he then mentions the following, and again, I keep on making this point, because I do want to show you how the Tanya was really a very practical, in spite of its very ethereal, complicated vocabulary and structure, it really is a book of nichumen. It's a book of comfort and chizuk to people who are mevakshei Hashem. On one hand, you have to be mevakesh Hashem, because the standard of Beinoni is a very, very high standard. This is not a complacency. This is not, I'm okay, you're okay. This is dayresh. The Rebbe is dayresh from his chassidim, really a shlemus in their avaida. But at the same time, he's comforting them that when they have these struggles that they have to overcome, they are not failures because of that. Right? That's the idea. And he brings the point that he says, this notion that there are moments that I achieve this godless hamochim, and then it recedes. For a tzaddik, this would be a fake and false avodah, because something that doesn't last, how could that be part of who I am? But he says, for a Beinoni, it's a good thing, because the Beinoni is given the zechus to touch that connection to Hashem, even for a moment. And that in turn gives a person chizuk to keep on going on. I've used on Yom Kippur Neil, I've used a mashal that's put down in Sforim about a person who was blind, and they were given 24 hours of sight. And they knew that after the 24 hours, they would be blind again for the rest of their lives. So how much they would strive to take in, to take in, to take in, to take in, to keep a memory, so that when the light, when the sight eventually goes away, they will have something to hold on to. The Alter Rebbe is describing tefillah that way as well, that the muchen, the godless, gives you a rishima, that gives you chizuk in the difficult times. Okay, so that's basically the idea of Perek Yud Gimel. Again, Perek Yud Beis, yeah. Now, Perek Yud Gimel, he now explains a number of Mamari Chazal, which goes back to Perek Aleph. It's very interesting. Even the Tzemach Tzedek, the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the Alter Rebbe's grandson, and the Tzemach Tzedek was a guy in Otsum in Halacha as well. The Tzemach Tzedek was one of the Gedolei Hador Mamish, and a prolific writer in Halacha and in Chassidus. I think he wrote 30,000 pages in Chassidus, plus Shailos HaTshuvos and Chidushim al HaShas. I think I mentioned to you, he actually gave the Aruch HaShulchan Smicha, because the Aruch HaShulchan's, who was not a Chassid at all, the Aruch HaShulchan's first shteller was in a Chabad city, and Chabad was willing to hire non-Chabad Rabbanim, but they had to meet the approval of the Rebbe. So the Aruch HaShulchan spent a whole month with the Tzemach Tzedek, and he said later, he was praising the Tzemach Tzedek, he says, I spoke to him 8 hours a day, he didn't tell me one Chassidish Avort. He was saying, Tzemach Tzedek knew it wasn't for me, we only spoke Shas and Shas and Paiskin. But the Tzemach Tzedek said that it's difficult to tease out, because the Tanya in Perek Aleph asked a bunch of kashas, and he really doesn't even allude to the kashas till Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, he finally says, now we can understand the kashas. So just to mention a few of the horrors. Chazal, issue number one is the meaning of the statement, a Beinoni, the Gemara in Brachos says, Zeh v'zeh shoftan. The Beinoni is judged both by the animal soul and the godly soul, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Zev is a shoftan. So the Alter Rebbe asked the Kasha, if you understand that to mean, as the Rambam says, sometimes he fails, sometimes he sins, and sometimes he doesn't. It's 50-50. Then we have a kasha, because Chazal say, anytime you do an Aveira, you are a Rasha in God's eyes. So what does it mean, Zev, a Beinoni is Zev is a Shoftim? A single Aveira. You are a Rasha in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So the Baal HaTanya says, again, interesting diuk. It does not say, Zev is a Moshlim. It does not say a Beinoni is ruled sometimes by Tov and sometimes by Ra. That wouldn't be the case. Rather, the Beinoni is always ruled by the Tov. But the idea of a Shofet is this. Imagine if you have a court and a Beis Din. The Beis Din has many Dayanim, three Dayanim at least, right? For Dinei Nefashos, 23. Sanhedrin Gedola, 71. So a Dayan has an opinion. A Dayan has a Deya. But the Dayan's Deya can be overruled by the other side. So when we say the Beinoni has two judges, that simply means there are two voices within your spirit that are powerful. But you have to go with the godly soul. And then he brings the point. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. He offers a very beautiful original interpretation. The pasuk in Tehillim says, Ki yamayd liyamin evyon. Hashem stands to the right of the poor person. Lahoshia, to save him. Mishoftei nafsho, from those who are judging his soul. Now the simple meaning is, it's simply describing how Hashem protects the underdog and Hashem protects the oppressed. Right, Hashem stands to the right of the Evyain to save him from the Shofet, the one that's trying to take his life. Says the Baal HaTanya, this is the following remez. The Shoftei Nafsho are the Shoftim, Zev is a Shoftan. The Ra is pulling me and the Tov is pulling me. I'm an Evyain, I'm poor, I'm bereft, I'm powerless. I don't know exactly how I'm going to win. But the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand on your right side, meaning he'll stand with the godly soul to save you from the Ra that's trying to drag you down. And this is exactly the Gemara in Sukkah. Yitzro shel adam miskaber olav b'chol yom. The Yetzer Hara can overpower you every single day. V'ilmolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro. Without Hashem's assistance, I'm not going to win. And therefore, Zev is a Shaiftan, says the Baal HaTanya. Ra and Tov are judging you. That doesn't mean they're controlling you. It just means each has an opinion. And then you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Siyata Dishmaya to be Miskaber. Right, so that's the first Kasha that he mentioned in Perek Aleph. What does it mean, Zev is a Shoftan? Now the second Kasha was this. There was a statement in Chazal, again, this is actually referring back to Perek Aleph. Afilu kol ha'olam kulo omrim lecha tzadik ata. Even if the whole world tells you, you're a tzadik, heyei b'einecha kerasha, you shall consider yourself a rasha. Chazal say, no matter what the world tells you, tzadik, 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 you should look at yourself as a Rasha. Now the Alter Rebbe asked the Kasha, that L'chaira, there's a Kasha on that. Because if a person looks at himself as a Rasha, he's going to get depressed, he's going to get subrachin, he's going to get sad, he's going to feel that he's a failure. So how can we tell a person, I should look at myself as if I'm a Rasha? So the Alter Rebbe says, it doesn't mean exactly. It doesn't say, look at yourself that you are a Rasha. But like a Rasha, meaning to say, just as the Rasha has an animal soul that has not become diminished, obviously. So So we should look at ourselves and be makir that we're beinonim. Even if the whole world says tzaddik, of course they don't mean it in the Baal HaTanya's way anyway, but don't be complacent. Don't say you've killed the Yetzer Hara. Rather, know that it's still there and you have to be miskaber. So rather than make a person sad or depressed, the message is the other way around. Mm-hmm. Be vigilant. Be aware. And this actually fits another statement of Chazal, which he doesn't bring, but Al Tamin Biatzabha Yom Mosecha, meaning do not believe that you've conquered everything till the day of death itself. Okay? So the Alter Rebbe says the concept is not, okay, again, very important. It doesn't mean when it says be a Russia, you know, you be in your eyes a Russia, it doesn't mean think poorly of yourself. No. It just means be aware that the Ra is still here, and therefore you have to be vigilant to be able to conquer it. And that's why he said, another kasha, that Rabba made a statement in the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah, that people like me are just Beinonim. How could Rabba say he's a Beinoni? The Gemara says, Rabba did not go four Amos without learning Torah, without wearing tefillin, without davening. Rabba's every single moment of the day was spent on holiness and avodas Hashem. It says the Baal HaTanya, like my definition, that's not a kasha. Even if you're learning all day, even if you're davening all day, ein achinami, that gives strength to your godly soul to be miskaber over the Yetzer Hara, so it does not conquer the Yer Katana. And your machshava and your dibur and your maisa are all going to be connected to Hashem. Baruch Hashem. But that doesn't mean the Ra is not there in the Chalol HaSmali. And therefore, if the Beinoni is the person that is still going to have that struggle, then Eino Chinami. Rabba could say, he says, Banva Sanuso, in his humility. The Alter Rebbe says Rabba was probably not a Beinoni, but in his humility, he says, the fact that I'm learning all day, I'm davening all day, I'm doing only mitzvahs, that doesn't mean I'm a tzaddik, because that's what a Beinoni is supposed to do. And therefore, in such a situation, the Ra is still there. Right? So that's, and then he finally answers the very first kasha. That's actually in the next paragraph. But he says, remember the whole Sefer Tanya begins with a brisa. That's why it's called Tanya. What does it say? Before a neshama comes into this world, mashbiyan I say, we make the neshama take an oath, be it tzaddik, and don't, actually this is part of the same thing, be a tzaddik and don't be a Rasha. And actually he continues, and even if the whole world tells you you're a tzaddik, be in your eyes a Rasha. Right? That's all part of one statement. So the Alter Rebbe says, why do you make two oaths? Be a tzaddik and don't be a Rasha. If I'm a tzaddik, I'm not a Rasha. Right? What does it mean? So I'm going to read you what he says in Perek Yudalit. Could I look at the words here? This is the end of Perek Yudalit. The next Perek. Ubazeh Yuvan Kefel Lashain Hashvua. Now we understand the duplication in the Shvua. Tehi Tzaddik V'al Tehi Rasha. To be a Tzaddik and not be a Rasha. This is before you're born. Tilechaira Tamua. Apparently, this is difficult. If a person takes an oath, they're going to be a tzaddik. What's the point of taking another oath that I'm not going to be a Rasha? If I'm a tzaddik, I'm not a Rasha. Ela mishum ein kol adam zeicha li a tzaddik. There is no guarantee that a person can ever become a tzaddik. Within the meaning of killing the Yetzer Hara and being moes bara betachlis hamios, ein li adam mishpat habachira bazeh kol kach. A person does not have such total bechira lis'aneg al Hashem b'emes, to feel the total pleasure of dveikus b'Hashem, and the ra should be moes mamish b'emes, because remember, the stronger the love of Hashem, the more mios there is of the ra. But that's not a madrega, that's bechira. L'chein, so the concept is this. So tehi tzaddik means like this. It's a double shvua. Try to be a tzaddik. Maybe you'll make it, maybe you won't. But at a minimum, don't be a rasha. Don't give in to the ra. Be the beinoni. That's the purpose of the second shvua. L'chein mashpiyim shenis. Al tihi rasha al kolponim shebazeh mishpat habachira varishus nasuno l'chol adam. There is total free will and total rishus. Limshal beruach tavasu, to control my taiva of my heart, to conquer my yetzer, that I shouldn't be a rasha in action, afilu sha'akas kol yamav, whether it's sur meira, whether it's to avoid evil, or asay tov, or to do good. And then he, and here he mentions ein tov el Torah, famous drasha of Chazal. Do good. What is the ultimate good? Is limud hatayra, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Now, but then he says the following. So l'chayra, it's a little difficult. So if you're telling me I can't be a tzaddik, it's not up to me, then why am I swearing to be a tzaddik? So he says the shvua is that you have to set aside some time to try to cultivate what is called moe spara, to despise evil. It may not genuinely turn into a visceral disgust, but you try to contemplate, you know, how disgusting aveiros are, gives examples of zinus and other things, and the like. And then he says, even though you won't reach the level of a tzaddik necessarily, but you do what you can do, and that is the fulfillment of the Shavua. Hashem yasa tov b'yeinav, and God will decide what he wants to do with you. And then he talks about habituation, that just being margul yourself in even artificially being disgusted with Ra could influence your feelings inside. And then he mentions such a thing, a very interesting idea, that one of the madregas a person might have is something called Ibor. Ibor is pregnancy. What do we mean? So here I'm going to introduce two ideas. One idea you know already, one maybe is less familiar. There is in Kabbalah something called Gilgal Neshamos, and there's also something called Ibor Neshama. Now Gilgal Neshama is more or less reincarnation. That is, a soul that was once in a body will sometimes come back in another person in order to complete whatever unfinished business that first soul has. Now there's a whole science or pseudoscience of past life regression where people put you under hypnosis and they discover prior lives. It's very tempting to identify that with the phenomenon of Gilgal, but I hear from a Kubbalim that they say absolutely not. They say a Gilgal is not, a memory is not retrievable, meaning to say there's no way at all that a human conscious memory, even dredging it up from the unconscious, will be connected that way. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. Although they say, and Chassidish and Maisim don't mean that much, but they say the Abter Rav, a great Chassidish Rav, who had a very different derech than the Alter Rebbe, so it's not comparable, felt he was a Gilgal of the Kohen Gadol, of the one of the Kohanim Gedolim of the Bayis Sheni. And when he used to daven Musaf, and he was the Baal Tefillah for Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So in the Seder Avoda, we say what the Kohen Gadol used to say, Kach Chaya Omer, this is what he used to say, Ana Hashem, Chatasi Avisi Peshati. So when he was the Baal Tefillah in Chazor Sashatz, he would say, Kach Chayisi Omer, this is what I used to say. Now, so he felt he was a Gadol. All right, so you have different stories about that. But that's called Gilgal. But in Kabbalah, there is another idea called Ibor. Ibor literally means at any given time, it's kind of not an exorcism, it's the opposite. You get possessed. Exorcism is going to get rid of it. You get possessed in a good way that sometimes, well, Ibor can be good or bad. In other words, Ibor means another soul just joins you, either temporarily or sometimes permanently. Now, that could be a bad thing. That could be when you have exorcisms. In fact, Rav Chanan Wasserman was an aid re'ia to the Chafetz Chaim once, doing the equivalent of an exorcism on somebody and the like. And he used to say it over every Purim. Rav Chanan would give a whole story about this. But there's also an Eber in a positive way, that sometimes a person's, one of the rewards that Hashem could give a person is that Hashem augments your soul with the soul of a righteous person. And he says that maybe, this is the Baal HaTanya's, not promise, but the Baal HaTanya's suggestion, that maybe through your Isarusa Dolatata, through your Hisorus of wanting to be a tzaddik, maybe a Holy Spirit will come from Shemayim, and maybe the neshama of some other tzaddik will enter you, Derech Ibor, and then you will serve Hashem with true love and true joy. And he even says that according to the Mekubalim, this is the meaning of the Pasuk in Tehillim that we said, Kabbalah Shabbos, we said it last night, Simchu Tzadikim Bashem. Look at the Lashon Rabbim. The Tzadikim rejoice in Hashem. What is Tzadikim? Why plural? I should just say it's Tzadik rejoices. Simchu Tzadikim is a remez to Ibor, in which two souls get fused together, and therefore even the neshama of the Beinoni can be joined to the soul of the Tzadik, and then he becomes the Madrega of the Tzadik. This is a getter of reward. This is a getter of Sichar. Now, before we end, I just want to read back something earlier in Perek Yudalit. The Elder Rebbe makes the point that the Beinoni is the Mida of everybody, and he says that even when the Kayach Hara is very strong within me, I can always be Miskaber, because the Moach rules over the Lev, right? The Moach, which is the source of the godly soul, is more powerful than the negative emotions. And he actually gives you, and you can write this down and keep it in your pocket. He actually tells you what you should say to yourself. He says, Gam b'shash alev chomek, even when my heart desires things that are improper, whether it's a hetcher or an isra chas v'shalom, yochol l'hiskaber, and you say to yourself, and this is an actual quote, it's in first person, Eineni rotza lios rasha afilu shah achas. I do not want to be a Russia for even 1 minute, because if I sin even once in that minute, I am a Russia in Hashem's eyes. Eineni rotza lios muvdol v'nifrat chas v'shalom mi'Hashem echad b'shum eifen. I do not want to be separated from the Almighty even for 1 moment, because you'll remember, even in a quite literal sense, there's a separation, because when you do Averos, you're getting your spiritual energy derech the Klipa, and not directly from the Orif Hashem. Ani rotza ledavka bo nafshi ruchi v'nishmasi. I want every part of myself, my nefesh, that's my physical self, ruach, my emotions, nishmasi, my intellect. I want to dress them in the maise, dibor, and machshava of Hashem and His Torah, because of the hidden heart love of Hashem that is in my heart, even though I don't feel that love necessarily. But it's there, because every Jew has this love, because they are called Oavei Shemecha, those who love God. Afilu Kal Shebekalim, even the most insignificant Jew will be willing to give his life al Kiddush Hashem. Right? You find this, even a Jew that may not care about mitzvos, but when it comes to giving his life, they will give their life for Hashem. Even Kal Shebekalim. And the person says to himself, I'm not worse than that, and I'm not going to deny the truth. So he says, a person tells himself, every time there's a struggle, you tell yourself, I don't want to be mavdil myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's a story that Rav Dessler recounts. Rav Dessler recounts, again, it shows you the Bali Musar were so honest, that he had a very great difficulty stopping smoking. And he says he tried to stop smoking many times, and he failed at it. He started again. And he was, Rav Dessler was using his own example as an example of how difficult the Yetzirah is, that you have a taiva, you have a Yetzirah, even a tzaddik goyin and a meforsim and a baal musar talks about the difficulties of breaking these midas. But it's interesting. I once, you know, there's a famous Hollywood actor, Kirk Douglas, Lahavdol Meir Havdalis. And Kirk Douglas wrote a biography of his life, autobiography. And he talks about his father. His father was a Russian Jew who came from Russia, and he was a rag man. He sold rags, he sold whatever he... I don't know why people buy rags, but I don't know, it was a suburb, apparently there was some business even in selling rags. I'm not sure for what.
Russians and put them on the foreign loom.
Okay, so people actually buy rags. Okay, yeah. Seder. But in there, he tells the story about his father, which I thought was absolutely remarkable, especially when it compared to what Rav Dessler said his difficulties were. That he says his father was a heavy smoker, and when it was when the scientific studies showed it was not healthy to smoke, his father just stopped, and his father would insist on carrying a cigarette in his pocket at all times, and whenever he felt like smoking, he would take out the cigarette and say, "You think you're stronger than me?" He says, "I'm stronger than you. You're not going to control my life." And he put it back in his pocket. Now,
this story's about whom?
Huh?
This story's about whom?
This is Kirk Douglas's father. An amazing story. Such a person. I mean, if he would have had the right chinuch and the right environment, he could have been like, you know, one of the greatest Balei Musar. But this is what the Baal HaTanya is basically saying. That apparently, this guy still had a real strong desire to smoke. He really desired the cigarette. But he just said, yeah, I desire it, but you're not gonna control my life. And the Baal HaTanya is basically saying, that's what the Beinoni says to the Nefesh HaBahamas. The struggle is there. So the Baal HaTanya is saying, you're not a failure, nothing wrong with you. This is your human condition. This is your matzav. This is your situation. And you can win, and you can be miskaber. And you just have to tell yourself over and over again, I don't want to separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know in my heart that there is a love of Hashem, even though I don't feel it yet, because that is Ava Misuteret, right? A concealed love, but I know that it's there. Yeah.
What is the interplay between the Beinoni and the Nekudas HaBechira? Dessler speaks about, can someone only become a Beinoni once he's learned the entire Torah and knows everything he's supposed to do, or could there be someone becoming a Beinoni even if he's a Baal Teshuva or someone in an environment where he's not exposed to the whole gamut yet?
Well, once again, I think a person can be a Beinoni if he is always choosing the good based on the way he understands it at that particular stage in his life. So Beinoni is not necessarily objective, but it does mean based on what your choices are, you always choose the Tov. So Rav Dessler's point, I think, fits in that if there's a Nekudas HaBechira, so the Beinoni chooses the Nekuda that's Al Sad HaTov.
So he might not necessarily look like the Baal HaTanya. The way he describes it, would be someone we'd look at like a Gadol HaDor, like Tzaddik.
No, that's correct. That's correct. I mean, again, the Rebbe doesn't address what Rav Dessler was talking about, but I think it could certainly fit. It could certainly fit the idea that at every stage of your life, you are making the right decision that Hashem wants you to make, even though you know you don't have all the information, you don't have all of the data, so to speak. You would have the avoda of the Beinoni. Okay, so this is again; these are three prakim that basically deal with the idea of the Beinoni. The rest of the sefer, we'll talk about. Now that we've defined the Beinoni, what do we do with it? Okay, have a good week.